Thank you, Rebecca, and we appreciate that song. It has a wonderful message. God has certainly been good, and He is good. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, and we're going to jump into this, and we appreciate you being here. A wonderful passage. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you. To me it indeed is grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, and touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though it already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. If I do, thank thee for your word. And Lord, we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, we thank thee so much for the privilege to just come here today and Lord, to worship you. And Lord, we just praise thee for the freedom we have in this great country. Lord, to gather here without fear. And Lord, knowing that you are here with us and knowing that this is your word and your instruction that you have for us is real. And it's what you expect. And Lord, it's to guide us, Lord, that we might be vessels that will please you. And Lord, we give this service to thee. Lord, we ask you to give me the words to say. And Lord, open our hearts and our minds that we might be able to grasp what is here. And Lord, that we might be better for our time. And Lord, that we might be able to live in such a way that we exalt you. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I hope you had a wonderful evening last evening. How many were up and watched America here? Now, I'm not talking about New York. New York was 11. Did you usher in the new year here? How many did that? Okay. So if I hear some snoring, I guess I can understand. We appreciate very much. We put a note in the bulletin, all the giving of this church. But I also want to say thank you for those that invited us over last night to celebrate. We did not leave the house because I have a bad cold. And in order to preach today and then have the rest home service, I had to be very careful with my voice and to try to get over this. It's been kind of going through our family. Grace had a real bad cold a week ago. And I think it's just kind of been passed along. So anyway, so I've been fighting that. And so we did not do anything, go out or do anything. The only stepping out of the house yesterday, I was out for about 30 seconds to get the dog who we had let out, okay? That was my total movement yesterday. But anyway, we're embarking upon a new year. And in Sunday school, Phil was asking us about last year. Last year for our family is kind of a blur, okay, I guess is what you'd say. We went by Clear Lake, we said with our trailer 24 times this last year, going and coming and of course getting moved here and the Lord leading us here. There has been a lot of water that has gone over the dam this last year with our family. And for us to stop and just think through it all, it's just kind of a blur. But we're very, very thankful to be here and be settled. And we're looking forward to what God is going to do this next year. I'm glad our country and, of course, the world sets aside a day and says, okay, this is the end of one year and starting a new year. A lot of people talk about New Year's resolutions, and I don't know if you made them. Most resolutions, they say, last 2 weeks. Okay, well, maybe you can aim for three, but normally that's the case. But we want to grow this year. We want to change, and we want to be a vessel that God can do work through. It is a time just to stop and think. I think it's a time to praise God for what He's done in our lives. God has done some wonderful things, and it's a time for us to have some introspection. What needs to change, or what are some goals I maybe should set? And so it is that type of time. And so spending this morning, I'm not going to really zero in on the new year, but I want to ask you this question as we begin. What is your number one priority for life? Not just 2017. What is your number one priority for life? Now, I want you to think about that because it might be a little bit different than what Paul gives us in this passage. And the message this morning, and by the way, last week's message, the notes were put once again in the bulletin so you can catch up if you were not here last week. But it is a message that you're going to have to think about. And it's a message that you're not going to probably totally grasp because I've spent a lifetime working on it. But I think we sometimes have a big misunderstanding in fundamental circles that I am going to hit on this morning. And we kind of have things a little bit backwards in America in many of our churches. Because what is our primary purpose is not necessarily what a lot of people will say. A priority is defined this way. It means being prior, and we're talking about our number one priority. It means priority in time, being prior in time, prior in order, or prior in importance. That's what priority means. It means it presides, or it's number one, it presides over all others. And so the question is, as I laid out, what is our number one priority? In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us what his number one priority was and what our number one priority ought to be as believers. Here's the key: to know Him. That's our priority, to know Him. Paul says that I may know Him. That is our priority. In the Sunday school hour this morning in Colossians, the whole book of Colossians is about the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is the one we're to know. He's the one we're to walk with. He is the one we are to grow in. He is the one who will take care of all of us because He is our total sufficiency. Christ is all, and He has the preeminence, and we're to give Him the preeminence. That's Colossians. But to know Him, that is what separates us from religion. Religion is based on, it is rules and regulations and requirements for salvation and for spirituality. That's religion. Religion is based on rules and regulations and requirements, and if I fulfill them, then I have salvation and I also have spirituality or sanctification. That is what separates us from religion. Christianity is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ for salvation and for sanctification. That is Christianity. It is Christ. It is a relationship with Him for salvation, knowing Him personally, and growing in Him with a personal relationship is what brings sanctification and spirituality. It is very easy for Christians to get off balance. It's very easy. And one of the things that I have said, and I will say it again, balancing the Christian life is a daily job. It's very easy to get off balance. Very easy. And Christianity has a tendency to get off. And what it makes is requirements and rules and regulations equal with spirituality. I'll say that again. In Christianity, it is very easy for us to get off balance and for us to make rules and regulations and requirements equal with spirituality. And we adopt those religious ideas and we put them into our religious circles and we say, thus is spirituality, instead of saying, no, spirituality is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what happened to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, if you read verses 1 through 7. They were a wonderful church. They were filled with good works, and they worked hard. They were diligent. They were determined. They kept going when it was tough. They were distinctive. They didn't put up with false doctrine. And they were discerning, able to discern right from wrong, and they were very dedicated to the cause of Christ. They had all good characteristics. But what does God say? There's something missing. You've lost your first love. That was the relationship with Jesus Christ was the problem with their church. In fact, he said, if you don't get it back, I'm going to take out your candlestick. And see, it is very important, and it is a problem. This is what is happening often in churches, fundamental churches. We create a list of things to do or not do, and then we say, these are what make us spiritual. Then we will articulate our list, whatever they may be. We're going to articulate our list and say, "If you, this is the list." And we'll have all kind of publications. And the publications will have this idea. This is what makes you spiritual. And if you keep these five things, you will be spiritual like me. And it will be in all kinds of books because it sells. Easy Christianity. This is how to be spiritual. Just follow these five steps and you'll be spiritual. And then we have a tendency to judge people according to our list. They didn't keep our list, so they're not spiritual. They're not godly because they aren't keeping my list. And sorry to say, they're missing it. These lists are, to tell you the truth, very biblical. In fact, you can find them in Scripture. There are all kinds of lists and all kinds of characteristics, of qualities that ought to show up in the Christian life. It's not that they're unbiblical. It's they're off base. There are some very big dangers when we have our lists, which make us spiritual, putting religion and rules and regulations out there as spirituality and not a relationship. What it does, it appeals to the flesh. Because this is a list that I can keep. And it's my list. I found it. And I'm wonderful. And you're not. It appeals to the flesh. It also produces a counterfeit spirituality. You can be very carnal and even lost keeping a list. Let me explain. The Pharisees had over 1,000 rules that they had added on to the law. Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he was lost. And see, the problem is it produces a counterfeit spirituality because this is my list, therefore I'm spiritual, And guess what? I might not even be truly a Christian because lost people can keep lists. Thirdly, it also leads to spiritual pride. Keeping my list leads to spiritual pride. I'm better than you. And you don't keep my list, so therefore you're not as good as me. You're carnal. In fact, maybe not even saved because you didn't keep my list. It leads to spiritual pride. It also stuns spiritual growth. Is all I got to do is keep my list? I don't have to grow in Christ. I just need to keep my list. And since I keep my list, I am spiritual. It also centers on man. It's man-centered. It's not God-centered. It's not Christ-centered, who's the center of all. He's our Savior. And our whole life is supposed to be wrapped in Him, not wrapped in me. It's self-centered and not God-centered. And lastly, the danger is this. It sends many people to hell because they think they're spiritual because they kept the list. Do you realize how many people in America right now are lost and are in church thinking they're on their way to heaven because they're keeping some list? It's tragic. Because the truth of this is they really missed it. Secondly, I would say not only is it dangerous, but they are also grossly inferior and inadequate to what God intended. List keeping for spirituality is grossly inferior and inadequate to what God intended. What God intended this is He calls all Christians to a relationship with Him and not a keeping of rules and regulations. That is tough for a lot of people to swallow. They want to be legalistic, and it's easy to have your list. It's hard to walk with God. But having a vibrant and intimate personal growing relationship with Him is what God intends and what God calls us for. We are called to have a personal, vibrant, growing relationship with Him. That's what we are called to. It is knowing Him and growing in Him. It is Christ-centered and it is not man-centered. It is Christ. Let me explain this just a little bit way, in a very, very practical way. Jane and I will have been married, I believe, 36 years, is that correct, this coming June. It's been 36 wonderful years for me. You can ask her. What would it be if for 36 years we had our lists and I just obeyed them? I just did what I was told, when I was told, how I was told. There was no discussion. There was no walking together. There was no deciding together. There would be no laughing, no touching, no affection, no growing to know each other. We just kept our list. It would be a miserable life. See, that's not what God intended. And that's not what God intended with our relationship with Him. We are the bride of Christ. As the bride of Christ, we are to walk with Him. We're to talk to Him. We're to listen to Him. We're to discuss with Him. We're to pour our heart out with Him. We are to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our mind and our soul. It's not keeping a list of rules and regulations and requirements. It is a relationship. And sorry to say, many, many people are missing it. They're hung up on a fact of rules and regulations. A relationship never is dead. Keeping of rules always leads to death. The letter of the law kills. It kills a relationship. It always is growing and never stops. Rules and regulations have an end. But a relationship is always growing, and it never is totally fulfilled or culminated until heaven. That's what God intended. You'll note in this passage, Paul says that I may know him. My number one priority is to know him. He says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of him. You never come to the end of that growth. You'll note in Peter, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is that personal relationship that we are as believers to have. Now, I want to make this very clear. There are rules, there are regulations, there are guidelines, there are things in Scripture to do and things you should not do. But when we make them our quest, we've missed it. Our quest is to know him. Now, I want to take this passage apart, and you'll note several things that Paul gives us. First, you'll note he gives us in verses 5 and 6, Paul gives us a list of his credentials. These are his credentials for salvation or for spirituality. This is his credentials. Paul was circumcised. He was of the stock of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was zealous, persecuting the church, and he was blameless. Now, in man's eyes, he was a fantastic guy. He was religious above all others. But he says, you'll note in verses 7 and 8, God's view, Paul gives us of his attainment. It was all loss, and in fact, he says it's dung. You know what dung is, very simply. It is something you're not going to want to step in, and you hope you don't have to pitch much. But it is dung. It is worthless, except for fertilizer. And what Paul is saying is all of my goodness, all of these things of the flesh were in God's eyes of absolutely no value. Then Paul gives us, the third one is this, he gives us the answer to spirituality, and you'll note in verse 9, it is first of all, salvation is found in Christ, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We're saved by faith. But then he also gives us, what is the answer to spirituality? Be found in him. And here's what he says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says the key is very simple. Not easy. It's very simple. That I might know him. Know him. And if I know him, you'll note there are several priorities are going to show up. First of all, the personal relationship with Christ, knowing him. Then there will be power for living. And here's what he says in verse 10. Know him and the power of his resurrection. What is that? The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 4, is that dwells within believers. That is what is raising me from my old way of living, my old lifestyle, living for self and living through the flesh. That power is within me. And as I know Christ, and I walk with him, and I have a personal relationship with him, and I listen to him, and as I grow in him, I'm getting victory over myself and over my old way of living. My thoughts, my words, my deeds, victory is found in knowing him. I have that resurrected power. You say, well, Pastor, I can't get victory over this particular sin. I know you can't. But you aren't supposed to be able to. Only through Christ you can. And through dependence on Him and walking with Him and growing in Him and listening to Him, you will get victory if you walk with Him and get to know Him. Because through Him is the power of the resurrection. He put that Holy Spirit within you. You can have victory through Christ because He's already won the victory. Thirdly, you'd find not only is there the power for living, but I become a partner in His cause. Here's what He says. They may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship, that's partnership of His sufferings. I am in the same boat. I have the same cause. I'm going the same direction. I'm trying to accomplish His will and proclaim His name and live for Him and that Christ might be seen in me. I'm a partner in His cause, the fellowship of His suffering. For 36 years, my wife knows all about the fellowship of the suffering. We're partners. We're in the same boat, going the same way, fighting the same battles, dealing with the same things, having the same victories. And see, as we walk with Him, and Paul, as I know Him, I get this victory to live the Christian life, and I become a partner in His cause. Ali knows the fourth one is this: I also become pliable to be used in a greater way. And here's what he says: fellowship of sufferings, being made conformable or pliable unto His death. I am a chunk of clay, and God wants to mold me and fashion me into a vessel that He can use. That does not happen as I live in the flesh. It happens as I know Him. As I get to know Him, I'm being changed into His image. I'm being molded into a vessel for His glory. Sometimes we say, these people have been together so long, they even look alike. You've seen that. You've said that. You've done that. I'm hoping that happens to me. But anyway, how did that happen? They even act alike. And they even are able to say what the other one's going to say ahead of time. You notice that? It's why they were together. They've been together so long that they think alike. They talk alike. There has been a change. And see, as I know Jesus Christ, I become pliable and moldable into His very image. That's how God uses us. Lastly is this, and you'll find in the following verses, is He becomes pleasing to Him. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's desire was that he would please the Lord. See, it's not a list. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not a bunch of requirements. It's a relationship. It's not that they aren't in Scripture. It's not that they're not important. But the truth of the matter is we really miss the boat when this is our list for spirituality. And if you don't keep my list, you're carnal. No, it's a relationship. And my goal is for this year is that our church comes to know Jesus Christ. That's my goal, and it ought to be your goal, that we know Him, that we walk with Him, that we grow in Him, that we listen to Him, that we obey Him, we please Him, we see Him. Him. Not a bunch of rules, not a bunch of regulations. And see, I think we've really, in Christianity, what happens is this, is we create our list, and they're biblical, and we'll fight for our list. And then we say, that list is spiritual. And if you don't have the same list that I have, something's really wrong with you. And if you don't keep my list, you're either carnal or lost. Because my list is a mark of true spirituality. The tragedy is this: we've missed it. We've really missed it. Because the answer is Jesus Christ. He is to be our number one priority, is to know Him. And when we know Him, we'll have victorious Christian living. We will be a part of His plan and a part of His cause. We will be changed into His image, and we will please Him. I don't know of a greater need, probably, in fundamental churches today, because many of these churches, and may it never be said of us, they really don't know Christ. They keep their list, and they miss it. I hope that's not us. Let's pray. Father, I do thank this so much for Your love. Would You thank this so much for the message that You have allowed us to hear this morning. Lord, it's one of those that we can take and we can think of and we can mill over, because we are very easily caught up in having a list of what we say or believe makes a person spiritual. And Lord, help us to realize spirituality is not keeping some list of rules and regulations. Spirituality is knowing You. And Lord, may we as a church know You in a greater way this year. And Lord, may our focus be upon You, Lord, that we might be a vessel that is used by You, a vessel that is changed into Your image, a vessel that is impacting the world we live, a vessel that just pleases You. And Lord, may we set this as our priority for living. And Lord, bless us this day. May You be glorified in us. And Lord, we think of the plaza service that we just ask You to bless there. Lord, we thank Thee for those that have been coming. And Lord, use us, Lord, that You'll touch some hearts, and Lord, that someone might get saved. And thank for that opportunity. Give us a great day for this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Phil to come, but I'm going to ask you to pray for the plaza service. We're going to be heading up there at 2 o'clock for that service. Last week, we had 14 people there from the home, which is a great number of people, which we're excited about, the opportunity to hear more people all the time. There was about five new ones last week that came. That is not including the ones from here. There was 20-some total, I think, we had that were there, but it was an excellent opportunity. That is not a waste of time. It is not, we would say it's not that important. It is important. And so pray for us, and if you could ever come and be a part of it, you're welcome to. If you want to come and sing, great. We would love to have you sing. If you want to play an instrument, they love anything that someone can do, okay? And so if you are willing or able to come at any point in time and do something, that would be wonderful, and they will be very happy to have you there. And so anyway, pray for that service, and we want to thank you for coming this morning. Phil, you close us.